Brent, how are you doing today?
Well, I'm doing fine. The big news today, obviously, is the reality of Florida State being on the night of Black Friday.
Yeah.
Just announced a few hours ago, only the second time they have played on a Friday night, which is amazing. They played, I think, back in '79. I'll double check that. In that time, I'm sorry, it was 2017. At that point, it's been a while. It won't be every year. But to do something like that ever so often, I think it's a pretty good idea, all in all. So that's the news of the day, with some people liking it and some people really not liking it.
I think it's kind of cool. It puts that game in a spotlight, as you
It does.
mentioned. And, in the grand scheme of things, this is going to be an interesting year because Florida, you've got Billy Napier coming in. A lot of people like what he's doing for Florida State. Some people think he may be on the hot seat. Other ones think that he's doing a really nice job. So, I mean, by the time we get down to that game, that could be a really big game for both of these teams.
There's no doubt about that. I'm not going to say it's going to put them in when I'm near the playoff or anything like that,
Right.
but it really will be. Florida obviously winning last year in Gainesville, but there will be a real I think change in Florida. It will be a change for the best. And I do like Mike Norvell. I still think they're playing and will be playing better overall. It will. It's very different with all that. But at the same time, I kind of like the change. As a matter of fact, you've also got the ACC schedule revealed tonight, so we'll know who Florida State is playing this fall. So that's coming up also tonight after 8 o'clock. So that should be fun to see what the ACC schedule is going to be.
Yeah, that literally is coming up in not too long of a time tonight. In terms of how the scheduling shakes out, the opponents are already decided. Like for Florida State, for example, being here in the Panhandle area, they've got Clemson, Boston College, Wake Forest, and Georgia Tech at home. They've got Louisville, Miami, NC State, and Syracuse on the road. How big of a factor is not necessarily who you're playing, but when you're playing them?
Well, it's huge. You don't want to be playing these teams up north in November. If you're going to play Virginia or Boston College or someone like that, you would certainly rather play them in September or in October. That would make a huge difference for that. So no question. And that's very true. Is a lot of how they do with these games will be when they're played.
Another piece of news in college football is Auburn offensive coordinator Austin Davis stepping down. Now, this is a move that just recently came about last month. He's stepping down to spend more time with his family. How does this put a halt in Brian Harsin's plans, if at all, just given, you have these plans, you're coming up with the outlook of your football team, you've got guys transferring in, and you're trying to look at your overall roster and how you want to attack the spring, and then all of a sudden your offensive coordinator is like, hey, I want to spend more time with my family, I'm stepping down. How much is this going to impact the spring for Auburn?
Well, it's a problem, and Auburn's got a lot of problems right now. There's no denying that. I mean, Brian Harsin's going to have five coordinators in his first 2 seasons. As someone said, that's probably got to be a record with that. And the other thing that's really disturbing for them is a factor where, Drew, they've lost like double-digit linemen, which is a real problem for them. But their transfer portal is not very healthy right now at all. So, I mean, they've got Marquise Robinson transferring out as of late. And you still really don't know the quarterback situation. They've got Zach Calzada from A&M. I've also heard today, and I just couch this as a rumor, that he may be looking at trying to get out. There's some rumors about Tank Bigsby, maybe, even though he said he was coming back, maybe wanted to go. Look, they lost five games in a row in the season last year, and right now they just don't have much momentum.
No, and you're playing in a division where you do not want to be losing. You don't want to be losing any sort of momentum at all, especially in terms of recruiting and how your roster is getting shaped up. Speaking of the whole transfer portal, Ole Miss now atop the transfer portal rankings, if you will, with Jackson Dart moving there. A big get for Lane Kiffin and his hopes of continuing to build that football program. What do you think that Jackson Dart will be able to bring in his first year as a Rebel?
You knew he would get a quarterback, obviously, from Southern Cal. The other thing he got was tight end Michael Trigg, who is well thought of. Trigg, 6'4", 240. So I think that's dangerous, frankly, with Lane Kiffin. Dart had an injury last year, but he did throw for 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, and 5 interceptions, ran a little bit for 66 yards. So that's good news for them. But they also got a transfer from Jared Ivey, who is a defensive lineman from Georgia Tech. Ole Miss has done well in the transfer portal.
Yeah, they definitely have. And speaking of the portal, this is an interesting story. As we followed Caleb Williams and him leaving Oklahoma, could he go to LSU? Could he go to USC? Now, all of a sudden, it seems like Wisconsin apparently is a contender for him. How important is it for Lincoln Riley now to get a quarterback, losing Jackson Dart? They've got Malachi Nelson, I believe, coming in the next recruiting class. But how pivotal is it for him to get Caleb Williams to commit to USC?
I think it's huge. Mm. And I think this is probably coming down to name, image, and likeness deal. But, Caleb Williams right now is – what we've also seen and heard is down to Southern Cal and Wisconsin. No one thought Wisconsin would be a viable possibility. And you think about a guy like Caleb Williams going to Wisconsin. Now, look, Wisconsin's still not a 3 yards in cloud of dust, maybe as they used to be, but LSU was in this. They're now out of it, so I don't know. I mean, it's a why Williams is not latched on again to Lincoln Riley, I'm not sure. Some said maybe his father doesn't like the situation. We will see, but yeah, that's not very good at all for Southern Cal that he has signed. But it's important to also say they are still in it.
It is. And, very, very interesting. Two completely different programs, obviously, geographically, but, in terms of context, Pac-12 and Big Ten and in Wisconsin and the way that they've played previously, if they get a guy like Caleb Williams, I mean, who knows if they'd be able to get – that would get them over the hump. But transferring over to basketball, we talked about Alabama last week and how they lost to Georgia. They turned that around by going to beat Baylor. I mean, I don't know if we can even tell who this team really is. Is it as simple as they just play to the level of their competition, Brent?
Well, that's a lot of it. And their competition last time was Baylor and Tuscaloosa. And they played extremely well and won that game. Now, they've got wins over Gonzaga, and they've got wins over Houston, Final Four teams, recently. So it's Baylor. Now, they've got a very big game tomorrow night with Auburn at Auburn. So that would do them a lot of good to be able to win that game. They are – now, they're in the tournament. There's no doubt about that. And it really just depends on the seeding. They had lost three in a row, then they won two in a row, and then they lost to Georgia. But they've got Auburn, and they've got Kentucky and Tuscaloosa on Saturday. They've got Kentucky and Tuscaloosa on Saturday. The guards played better. Jaquan Quinterly played much better in the game. Jalen Shackelford's doing well, one of the keys to the team. They don't have the depth and they don't have the strength in the middle that they need, and that probably is going to take another signing class for that to happen. All in all, I would agree that Alabama's a very schizophrenic team at this point that it still has a lot of maturity to go.
And this Kentucky team now up to number five. I mean, they're led by Oscar Tshiebwe. The dude averages 16.5 points and 15 rebounds. I mean, he's about as star-studded as it gets. But you've got five guys that average in double figures. I mean, John Calipari's really got that team playing well.
They're playing extremely well. They just destroyed Kansas 80-62 over the weekend, really coming into form. And by the way, Florida has Kentucky coming up in February twice. So that certainly is not going to help them. But, I mean, Kentucky's 12. They'll be in the top 10, no doubt about that. But you're right. They are just a team right now that is playing about as well as they can play.
One more thing, Brent. So the Bengals going to the Super Bowl. I don't think anybody thought of this. I'm a Bengals fan, and I couldn't have dreamed of this. It's the first time I've ever seen them win a playoff game, and Joe Burrow is at the helm of everything. How incredible has he been? I mean, ever since his transfer from Ohio State to LSU, he is – risen to the occasion every time, and I mean, for people who saw him in college, who didn't really see him, people who didn't see him in college, who are now watching him in the NFL, there is no surprise, I don't think, to anybody who saw him play at LSU how good Joe Burrow actually can be.
No question. He can be as good as anybody. I mean, these collection of quarterbacks right now in the NFL are really just amazing, and that's even after Brady retires right now. But I mean, Burrow showing us similar to what he did at LSU, and be able to get him there that quickly is frankly just astonishing. Kansas City is amazing too. And look, you know, a lot of people are saying, is there any way that they can block their way with? Will their line of scrimmage be able to hold up? I don't know. That's a good question. You say the same thing about the Rams at this point, but. I'll say this, at the moment, I would not put anything past them. Would you?
No, I would not. As long as number nine is their quarterback, I don't put anything past the Bengals. The quickest turnaround to go from dead last in your division to first and to go to the Super Bowl. 2 years it took them to do this, and it's Joe Burrow's first full season. He was hurt all last year. It's remarkable what he's been able to do.
Yeah. Well, it has, and obviously they've. But and again, I give the Rams a lot of credit, and what they've been able to do too has been very impressive. But gosh, I heard some story this afternoon about a guy who put down a $20 bet that both those teams would end up in the Super Bowl, and he was correct, and that $20 extended and made him, I think, $500,000.
Yeah, $20 to a Swift 5, that is and not only that, I believe it was he also picked the scores correctly as well. That was part of the deal, was which is that's insane, and it makes sense why he won that much money. But for you, I don't know if you have a better chance of doing that correct, of picking that right, or actually winning the lottery. But hey, I can't believe that story either. Well, Brent, we're gonna get your Super Bowl pick next week, obviously, because it's 2 weeks until the Super Bowl. But appreciate your time as always, and we will talk to you again next week.
Good. Take care.